Let's get to our guest, Olivier Dacier, head of applied research for APAC at Contigo. He's on the line from Singapore. Olivier, thanks for being with us. I'm wondering whether you're advising clients in the current environment, hey, let's avoid China, put money to work in the U.S. Are you doing that?
I think, you know, the issues with investing in China is not nothing to do with what's happened this week, right? The COVID policy is holding people back because obviously you can't forecast consumer demand when you can't forecast if they'll be able to go shop. So I think that's been holding investors back for now. You had a couple of weeks of good markets in China when the regulators were being very, you know, pro-growth after the reopening of the previous lockdown, but that's not enough to carry people back, especially when, you know, the U.S. or other markets are doing very well.
Not enough to carry people back, perhaps in July when we saw that huge underperformance. But when we're looking ahead to, you know, this very important Congress in China and expected more stimulus, particularly to try and support the property sector, could you say we are going to see some more rallying coming through into the end of the year?
It's possible because, again, regulators can make a big difference in at least with local investors. There is still a very big question mark about the health of the real estate sector in China and the debt burden, and U.S. interest rates are still going up. So anything with U.S. denominated debt is going to be something to avoid, regardless of what happens. So, you know, you're going to get the usual around October type of rally from local investors, but it's not going to be enough to woo foreign investors back in for, especially when they're making such great gains outside of China now.
Yeah, a tough call too. I mean, for markets in the region that are heavily dependent on a strong Chinese economy, I'm thinking of South Korea as one example, but I don't want to misspeak or put words in your mouth. Are there opportunities in the Asia Pacific that you like right now outside of China?
It's difficult because, as you say, China is a big piece of the puzzle for a lot of the countries around Asia Pacific. So obviously that's an issue. The Japan market is also a little bit troubling because, you know, the yen is way too weak. The central bank there has not yet moved against inflation and consumers are feeling the pain. The longer it lasts, you know, that they power 60% of the GDP in that country. So if you don't look after consumers' interest, you're in trouble down the road. So I think there's question marks now about the economy in Japan as well, especially after the summer is over.
We've been looking at the OPEC Plus meeting, which just had that modest increase in supply in oil. What does that mean for crude oil prices in this cycle and other risk assets? Have we kind of reached peak oil?
I think that's a good news, obviously, for risk assets in general, because obviously how much people pay at the pump will eat into their consumption budgets, and that eventually will feed to lower demand for other products, right? So far the earnings season has shown that companies have been able to pass on higher costs through higher prices and consumers have been willing to pay for them. But if gas at the pump stays high for a prolonged period of time, they increasingly will not be able to pay or not be willing to pay higher prices for other goods. So lower gas prices is good news for the market, for sure.
Yeah, we had news in the U.S. session that the American government reported an unexpected build in inventories for both crude and gasoline. So maybe we're seeing a bit of demand destruction, the consequence perhaps of Fed tightening. Where are you with the Fed's strategy right now? And do you expect a hard landing? Are you forecasting a recession?
So what we see is that the consensus in Q1 among investors was that inflation was winning. Inflation was beating central banks. So central banks got very aggressive in Q2, announced a very aggressive second half as well. And by the end of Q2, by the end of June, investors felt that it could end in a draw, right? So what they did was rebalance their portfolios because their portfolios had been positioned for a worst case scenario during Q1. And now what we saw in July is this switch to a base case scenario where inflation and the Fed might end in a draw. The next question is, what about the Fed and the economy? Right? So far, this is also looking like a draw. We're getting mixed messages on the macro front, but mostly positive ones. We're getting positive news on the earnings front. So as long as unemployment, as long as, you know, the economy remains at full employment, people will have money to pay for for goods, even if the prices is a little higher. So I think that's going to be the switch that we're going to see from for investors in terms of focus. They're going to look more at the employment numbers, the economic number, growth numbers, rather than inflation going forward. They think the Fed's going to take care of that. And they'll focus on whether or not people will have, you know, wages to pay for increased prices.
You point out that we're expecting tightening from central banks pretty much globally, except, well, we've touched on China, and the BOJ, you say, doesn't seem to have gotten the memo. When could we potentially see a change in strategy from the Bank of Japan?
I think, you know, in Japan, it's going to be up to the consumers to send that message to the BOJ. Obviously, after the summer and the end of the tourist season, the weak yen, is not going to be a main factor, but consumers control, you know, consumer spending is 60% of GDP in Japan. If they don't, if they stop going to the stores, if they stop buying, the BOJ will get the message.
Olivier, we had a historic visit this week from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan and subsequent response from China that was, I think, fair to say, a little angry. Markets were on edge as a result of that. Do you think China will drive a wedge deeper into some of these important relationships, whether it's Taiwan in and of itself or the U.S.?
I think, you know, the U.S.-China relationship is obviously a big geopolitical impact for investors, but it's background noise right now still. Earnings is front noise, so is the Fed, so is inflation. So I don't perceive a lot of movement from that. It depends if the situation between the U.S. and China gets worse, right? It got really bad when we had the trade war under President Trump. We thought it might be better under Biden. It hasn't. Will it get even worse? That is the big question. And so far, it's all the response we're seeing is China-Taiwan response. We're not really seeing a U.S.-China response yet from them. So the market is going to ignore that.
All right. Always great to have your insights. Thank you so much. Olivier Dacier, head of applied research for APAC from Contingo on the line for us from Singapore.